You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky together here. Buck, in Kansas City. It looks nice outside, but as you can imagine during this week, I don't know that I'll go out there until Wednesday. So just sitting here, trying to polish up some prep work here as we get ready to go. Man, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad that the week is finally here. Draft week is... it's a bit chaotic, but you can see the, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. I think the big thing for me is always the curiosity. It's one thing for us, you and I, to evaluate prospects and kind of talk about how the pieces of the puzzle should fit for teams. It's another thing to see what teams really think about it. And as we get closer, you begin to get some of the intel from teams and some of the things that they've thought the entire time that are radically different in the way that you may view a player or a series of players or those things. And so, it's fun to kind of see how it all plays out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, because then we get schedule release, we get mini camps and training camps, we get to kind of put it all together.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, my sandwich just got brought in here. Hold on. Real
quick. How about that?
Shut the door. Hold on. Once that's the big news. Hold on. You know, Buck, you got to get into, if you want to get into scouting mode as we get towards the draft, you got to have a Jimmy John sandwich or else it's like, you know, what are we even doing? So here's what I want to do today. Let's, you've got your final top fives. I got my final top 150. We'll touch on some of those, you know, movement that we might've had in those spots. And then we'll also, I think we should kick things off just latest stuff, you know, top 10, what we think, not only what you're hearing, but like, can we just make an agreement? It's something we've always tried to do here on Move the Sticks, which is, I don't know, use some common sense. Can we do that? Can we bring some common sense to this thing?
We can definitely try to bring some common sense to the madness that we've been dealing with the last few weeks, for sure.
Okay. Let's go. Bryce Young, I think we're both on the same page. It's going to go one to Carolina. I don't think we need to spend any time there. It'll be a shock of all shocks if that doesn't happen. So we get to Houston at two. A couple things I wanted to bring up there because the – and this is, again, we give our buddy Lance Zierlein credit for this because he was the first on this. And there's been a lot of chatter about two things. Number one, not taking a quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And number two, Tyree Wilson over Will Anderson. So the there's two parts to this thing here. I want to talk about the second one quickly, which is I can understand why somebody would take Tyree Wilson over Will Anderson. Like, I have Will Anderson over him. You have Will Anderson over him. But if you're saying, okay, if this, if both these players hit the ceiling, then you'd say, okay, Tyree Wilson has more. He's just bigger and longer and just rangier. Like, he probably has more in there if you can tap into that. Whereas I think Will Anderson, as we always say, man, it's a double all day long. Like, you are not missing on him. We feel comfortable with him. But, you know, I could understand. I could wrap my brain around it. I don't agree with it. I could wrap my brain around it if he were to go ahead of Will Anderson. The part that I can't wrap my brain around, Buck, is them not taking a quarterback. I can't. I hear it. We all hear it. I can't do that. I just, when it comes time to put in your final mock draft, I know what everybody's saying, and maybe I'm just going to look like an idiot. I can't have them not take a quarterback.
I mean, it's crazy, but then here's the thing. Like, due to Will Anderson, Tyree Wilson debate, when I think about those two, DJ, it reminds me, not in terms of them being the same type player, but it reminds me of the debate that you would have with Jadeveon Clowney and Khalil Mack. Meaning that in Tyree Wilson, you have the maybe more athletic, more physically imposing pass rusher. But in Will Anderson, you had what Khalil Mack was, which was a powerful, technique-oriented player who you're banking on that technique, that power, being able to get it done. And so I can understand gambling on the upside, gambling on maybe the ceiling, but – there's just something with Will Anderson that I am more comfortable saying, hey, whatever he is in college, he's going to be more like that than me saying the same thing for Tyree Wilson. Tyree Wilson flashes. He has nice production, 17 and a half sacks over those last 2 years at Texas Tech. But Anderson's been the marquee name, I mean, for 3 years. And each of those 3 years, he delivered. From his freshman year on, he has been, look, the belle of the ball, and he's lived up to those things. And I think there's something, too, when you have to carry that crown and carry that I'm a known commodity but still have to deliver, there's something to that as opposed to kind of flying under the radar. Then your last season, like, boop, I'm the prospect. So with the quarterback, I don't know, man. I think some of this is, man, I think people overthink it when we get to this time of the year. There are times when you look at C.J. Stroud over the course of the fall, you watch him during the college football playoff, and he looks like what an NFL quarterback should look like. And so, I mean, we could talk about testing and all this other stuff, but I just know when you watch him play the game, I don't see anyone who has issues in terms of that stuff. Yes, there's things that he can clean up. He's not a perfect prospect. None of them are. But to me, if you're going to bypass on a guy like that, man, you – better be right, man, because especially in your division where you could come back and slay the dragon two times a year, you just got to be right.
Here's where I am on those two topics, and I'll wrap up my thoughts on both of them. I felt like with last year with Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker, same thing. We're talking about Will Anderson and we're talking about Tyree Wilson. And this is not to say that I don't like, I mean, Tyree Wilson, I think, is my fourth player. Yeah. Not that I don't like him. It's not that I didn't like Trayvon Walker. I think Trayvon Walker was my fifth player. But I think there's a difference, Buck. Sometimes I think we get caught up, teams get caught up. I'm not trying to find a defensive end to play in a movie.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a defensive end to play in a game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, wow, look at this. This is central casting. Look at these guys, man. Whereas that's great. The other two guys are just better football players. Like, that's who I come back to on that one. So just your thoughts on that, then I'll get back, put a bow on these quarterbacks.
I think there's something to it. There's a lot of truth in that statement. At the end of the day, you have to grade people on how they play ball. I mean, that's what it's about. We can talk about the beauty pageant. We can talk about how they look, how long they are, and all those other things. Production matters. Production and performance over time, like, that's what they're going to do. And I don't think that you can ignore the production of both of the guys we talked about. The production Aiden Hutchinson had a season ago was real and legitimate. We saw that carry out and translate to production with the Detroit Lions. I am confident that wherever Will Anderson goes, the production that we've seen him do throughout his time at Alabama, he's going to continue to do that. Guys don't change. And so I just have a hard time thinking that he's not going to be able to do those same things. And so we'll see. Maybe there's a vision. Maybe there's a plan that the Texans have in place if they elect to go Tyree Wilson. But I mean, you're passing up two things that would be head scratchers that you could be called into question down the line. One, not taking a quarterback at two. Two, taking a different pass rusher than Will Anderson, number one. Those two things put a lot of pressure, put a bullseye right on your chest if those things don't go in your favor.
Yeah. The other thing I would say on the quarterback thing is, I know there's the theories of, well, they'll take one at 12 and, you know, take somebody else at two. And we went down this road, Buck. Remember when we talked about this? When you look at that, it is a trail of tears. Say, you know, we debated it. I think it was like, okay, well, maybe we could say three or four of those guys were okay players. Outside Lamar Jackson, it's not a great list. You know, it's just not. You're either good enough to go. If you're going to be my starting quarterback at 12, then shoot, I'm taking you at two. I swear to you, I would have more. I would. It would make more sense to me if Hendon Hooker was their guy. If they just said, we're taking Hendon Hooker with the second pick, man, Hendon Hooker's like in the 40s on my list. So that's higher than I have him graded. But my whole thing is, if you think he can be your guy at 12, then shoot, you might as well just take him at two.
Because ultimately you graded on how the player plays.
Yes.
How do they play? Doesn't matter when you pick them. How do they play? What's the performance like once you get them in the building? So it doesn't matter. The only thing draft status does, it gives you pole position coming into the building. You come in as a first round pick. That means you get to the front of the line. We're expecting you to start right away, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, it's how do you play when you have your opportunities? What do you do? How do you impact the game and those things? And given the impact of the starting quarterback in a league that is governed by quarterback play and now governed by young elite quarterbacks, you better get you a quarterback, because we've seen it. You don't have a chance if you don't have an A-level quarterback.
And tying those two conversations together, while I like Will Anderson, you like Will Anderson, and we both like Tyree Wilson, good football players. We both like Anderson over. We've established all that. The other side of it is, I don't feel like this is a Nick Bosa. I don't feel like this is a Myles Garrett. I don't feel like there's a Von Miller. So it's not like, you know, I saw Kimes' video the other day. I think he was on Cowherd, and he was like, you know, Nick Bosa was like, you're going to regret taking the little quarterback, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's one of those ones where, man, I might not sleep great at night knowing I'm passing up a potential Hall of Fame player. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd have that issue here. I'm sitting here thinking, like, there's no guarantee that those top two defensive ends are going to be significantly better than the defensive end you could take at 12. Like, you're going to get, you might get Nolan Smith, Lucas Van Ness, whoever your flavor is at that point in time. Like, I keep going around circles, but I'm like, they have to take a quarterback at two. They got to.
Well, I mean, like, depending on how they have them graded, I don't know what the system would say, but to me, the grade is the grade. I gave CJ Stroud a very impactful grade. Yeah. I mean, it's a solid first round grade. This is coming off to the CFP, coming off his bad games and everything. And so, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I felt like there was separation between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and the rest of the pack. Mm-hmm. I don't see it as close as some would see it when it comes to Will Levis or Anthony Richardson or whoever being the next one. So I need to see it. Like, part of the reason why I want to see what happens on Thursday night is we're hearing all this stuff. I can't wait to see if it plays out, to see if people really felt like that. It was just a smokescreen the entire time. And we did spend a lot of conversation talking about guys at the top of the board who were never rated or viewed as guys that should have been at the top of the board.
Yep, no doubt. All right, let's get to pick five. We'll take a quick little break here. So let's get to three, Arizona. You know, I know we can say, gosh, they would love to get out. Hopefully somebody would come up. But when you look at it in the last 5 years, Buck, in 2022, on draft day, no trades in the top 10. In 2021, the only trade in the top 10 was Philly going from 12 to 10. In 2020, no trades on draft day in the top 10. 2019, the only trade was Pittsburgh going to 10 from 20. Like, if you're going to move nowadays, if you're going to move up into the top five, it's usually done well ahead of time.
Because you want to plan, you want to prep. You want to have the opportunity to do everything. You want to plan, prep. You want to be able to invite the guys that are potential prospects to your facility as one of your top 30 so you can get a feel for them. All of that. Like, no one wants to play this cute game the day of. Like, it looks great in movies. It was great when Kevin Costner and all those guys moved around or whatever. But in real life, you don't want to do that because you want to plan. And so, you know, it has to be a player that drives it. Like, a lot of times, and I want people to understand, because we always get asked to talk about trades and stuff on path or whatever. But you just don't trade up for the sake of just moving. Don't confuse, like John, when you say don't. Mistake like
activity for achievement.
Yeah, activity for achievement. Yeah. Like, look, but just because we're moving around the board doesn't mean it. there has to be a player that is worthy of moving the needle like that. Now, if you're saying that Jalen Carter didn't have the issues away from the field, Jalen Carter's talent moves the needle where you could do it. And so if there's an asterisk that I put by one player, he would be the one player. And so as much as we're hearing about the stuff off the field, like, man, I don't know. DJ, I have a hard time when I look at the tape saying, man, I'm good. I'm going to take a lesser player just because I just have a hard time bypassing the talent that you see on a player who played with first rounders. And he's the most dominant one when it wasn't even his turn to come out.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why it's interesting to me. So if we say kind of Will Anderson more than likely goes three, Indy, if we go with Stroud at two, if we're talking about that, then you get to Indy. And I think the, you know, there's a lot of Levis smoke there. Haven't heard as much about Richardson. So I don't know what that means. Maybe there's a reason they haven't talked about Richardson. Maybe Richardson's been their guy all along, but I tend to believe it. I tend to believe in that smoke with Levis there at four. And then we get to five, and then it's Jalen Carter or no Jalen Carter. You know, we look at the edge rushers, but Buck, they've got, Daryl Taylor coming off a good year. Chenna Nwosu, who they, you know, who they got a really good year out of, who's still really young. And Boye Mafe, who they just drafted. So it's not like they're barren of, they got young, talented edge rushers. So what they don't have is that dynamic interior guy. And then you could say, well, corners, they haven't drafted a corner in the first round since Kelly Jennings. They find those guys down the line.
That's not their normal MO. And even though I may have mocked a corner there, but I mean, the tea leaves would suggest that, man, you have an opportunity to take an inside player that's a disruptive force. You haven't had issues with players on your team. Like, you have a unique environment that allows all these different type of personalities to flourish. I just have a hard time thinking, man, I'm Pete Carroll. I'm going to turn down a dude inside that can absolutely dominate the game from inside out. Man, to put him alongside, was it Draymond Jones that they signed in the offseason? Like, man, you know what kind of problem it is? You can put Jalen Carter over top of the center and make him turtle up over the course of 60 minutes, just beating the center's head in. I don't know, man. I find it hard to do, but I know this. You notice the Detroit Lions have become increasingly more comfortable with Jalen Carter. He doesn't get past six. He doesn't get past. If he's there at six, the Lions take him. And now you have the opportunity to put him on the inside with Aiden Hutchinson. You have James Houston. I mean, you talk about the Detroit Lions being able to put together some goons at the point of attack. I mean, that's the kind of defense you want.
Yeah, that's why I don't know. I don't know who to put to Seattle. Like, and then the other thing is like, well, maybe Seattle's just going to take Anthony Richardson and say, forget it. Like, we're going to, you know, let him sit under on Geno. We don't know if he'll ever be picking up here again. So this gives us our quarterback of the future. But man, I don't know. I mean, Pete, how many more years does Pete want to do this? Does he want to sit and wait? Like, I feel like he feels like he's got a pretty decent young team right now.
So everything they've done this offseason has been an attempt to recreate the 2010s defense. You think about what they've been able to pick up. So you talk about Draymond Jones coming over. They bring back Jaren Reed. Okay. So imagine that. Like, Draymond Jones, Jaren Reed on the inside. You now throw Jalen Carter in there to rotate with those guys. You have it. They bring Bobby Wagner back. They sign De'Aaron Bush to play linebacker. Jordan Brooks obviously will eventually come back. They're moving Jamal Adams down. From safety to weak side linebacker. They signed Julian Love. You have Tariq Woolen and all those guys. Like, DJ, everything to me screams, we want to get back to playing the dominant defense that we played in the past. And so we can be like, nah, we don't want an upfront guy because we're going to take another position. To me, it just makes sense that they're going to take the Georgia defensive tackles just based on what they're trying to do, just the vision that they have for how they want to play.
Yeah, and I've got some people in the league swear to me they won't be scared of Jalen Carter. And I've got other people in the league that said, no, you know, you got to remember Malik McDowell and the issues they had with him, that they won't want to go down that road. So I got no clue, Buck.
Remember, they took Frank Clark.
Oh, yeah.
They've had Brandon Browner on their team. They've had guys. I mean, they've had
Michael Bennett was an interesting guy.
So that doesn't. I don't think that bothers him. And DJ, where he's from, we talked about, man, being tucked away
to Seattle. I don't think there's a direct flight from a Apopka.
I mean, you talk about being able to just tuck away, far away from everybody. To me, it makes sense. You have control over and market everything. To me, it just makes sense, and it would be the perfect fit, not only schematically, but I think the type of head coach he is dealing with the player.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll roll through the rest of this top 10, maybe hit a couple of these guys in the top fives and the top 150, and we'll wrap this bad boy up on a Monday of draft week. We'll be back right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, Buck. So then we get to six here, and you get to the Lions. You've talked about if Jalen Carter was there, they take him. I mean, it just feels like to me it makes too much sense with the corner. If Witherspoon's there, I feel like that's a good match for them.
Yeah, no, Witherspoon is a great match. He's a great match for anybody. Like his ability to play man or zone, just how hard he plays, the preparation that he puts into it. If you want to gamble on somebody, you want someone who is all in like that.
Yep. So then we get to pick number seven with the Raiders. You know, I look at the offensive line and say, okay, man, they could still use some help there. But then, you know, I think about their kind of philosophy of, you know, with Josh McDaniels, he's going to get the ball out quick, and maybe they don't view that as quite as big a need at right tackle as maybe you or I might look at it. And, you know, I can make a case for Skoronski. You could play right tackle. You could plug in, play right guard, whatever you wanted him to do. But I feel like they've got to do something to help this defense. And in this case, I mean, you'd have Tyree Wilson would still be out there. You did not get out of Chandler Jones what you were hoping to get out of Chandler Jones last year.
No, you certainly didn't do that. And so Tyree Wilson would be in play. Corner would always be in play. Christian Gonzalez, Devin Witherspoon, yes, whichever one is available. They have to be able to play. You got to defend all those wide receivers. In a division. Let's have this talk, because I think I saw this somewhere. I don't know if Peter King talked about this, but there appears to be a lot of love for Paris Johnson Jr. Like a lot of love, a lot of people talking about he won't get past the Bears at 9. What are your thoughts on him initially?
That's a little high for me, just where I have him individually, but I've heard that same talk. I think that teams, there's a lot of split opinion out there. I mean, he is a tackle. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, one of the things that gives me some comfort with him is that if you look at Big Ten tackles who are, you know, big, smart, and instinctive, like those guys all play, and they all play for a long time. Now, I don't think he's a great bender. I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he can drop his weight, sink his weight like I would like to. I don't think he plays with outstanding core strength. I think he needs to get physically stronger. So I don't think he's I don't think he's in the class of Rashawn Slater. I don't think he's in the class of Penei Sewell. I don't think he's in class of, you know, the Werfs, Becton, you know, Andrew Thomas, that whole group of guys. I don't think he's in that group either, but I think he's a solid player. And to me, he's actually, I guess, technically my top tackle because I kick Skoronski inside the guard. But you know, tackles get pushed up, Buck. You look what those guys get paid in free agency. They rarely hit the market. So if you need one, you got to take one in the first round that pushes those guys up.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I had him initially as my top offensive tackle because I had Skoronski on the list. And I kept going back and forth. I felt like he was more athletic than Skoronski. I felt like his upside and those things were intriguing. But at the end of the day, I made a flip at the end just because when I see Skowronski, just from a technical standpoint, man, he does all the things right. Footwork, quick set, hands inside, all those other things. If he fails, he won't fail because he doesn't have all the tools in the toolbox. He'll just fail because he simply is overwhelmed. But I just can't see that. Yeah, it's just an interesting debate, you know, seeing more of the love on him. And look, I mean, he was still up there. I mean, I had second. Yeah. He's still like a top 12 player. I mean, when you look at the row of spots where the offensive line is going to come, he's not coming off later than, in you know, the mid first round. But it is interesting to hear this conversation about him and some of the other guys that have kind of popped up.
Yeah. No, you know, the interesting one to me is when you look at Darnell Wright. I struggled with where to put him at the end. He showed up a little bit out of shape at the pro day, which some teams were concerned about that. So you've got inconsistent play as a junior. You've got him playing great this year. Really good at the Senior Bowl. I thought he had a good combine workout, but then just a little, you know, a little out of shape at the pro day. I still kept him as the number two guy, but I've got it Paris Johnson, then him, then Broderick Jones. So, all three of those guys stacked together, I think 16, 17, 18 overall on my list. But again, tackles, they're going to get pushed up probably above where their grade is just because the need and the supply is not great. So we'll see what happens there. We got to the Raiders. If we get to the Falcons at $8, are you buying or selling on Bijan Robinson?
I mean, I like it. I think it makes a lot of sense. If you go and you look at how that franchise has operated, when they've been at their best with a young quarterback, they had a big time running back behind them. So when Matt Ryan was there, they had Michael Berner Turner. And Michael Berner Turner, those first 2.5, 3 years, he was able to alleviate a lot of the pressure on Matt Ryan to carry the offense. If Desmond Ridder is going to be your guy and you have an opportunity to get Bijan Robinson to go with Tyler Algiers and Cordero Patterson, you make the move. You go for it. And so, yes, I can see it. And also because Arthur Smith has a comfort level with kind of creating a running game with a big time back, I'm all in on it, you know?
The one that I'm just kind of looking at their team and I'm curious about, because you mentioned you've got Algier, you've got Cordero Patterson, you've got options back there. Now you've got Kyle Pitts at tight end. Hopefully he stays healthy for the whole year. You look at Drake London, what he can bring to the table. They brought over Mac Hollins. You know, you think about Drake London, Mac Hollins. And now I'm just literally thinking about this on the fly as we're doing this, but like Jaxon Smith-Njigba would be kind of interesting for them.
Oh, yeah.
Put him in the slot with that collection. He kind of fits though. Three years in a row.
Pass catchers, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, JSN.
It's a passing league. Buck.
3 years in a row, we're getting pass catchers in the top 10.
Well, they just locked in their offensive line. So that's, you know, they're pretty set there for the time being. So I don't know. I'm looking at their group and how it kind of comes together. And if you're going to go all in on Ridder, I know one thing. If I'm getting ready to push my chips in on a young quarterback I've got on my team, you know, I'd be telling a defensive coordinator, hey, man, I know we need this, we need that, we need the other. But in order for all of us to keep our jobs and to keep this train rolling, we need the quarterback to play good. So what pick helps us help him? So, you know, I think the running back would accomplish that in a big way. You know, Smith-Njigba would be interesting. So it'll be fascinating. I've been told a lot of people think that they would get out and they would, you know, they might not even need a huge return to get out of there. So,
I mean, yeah, I mean, but then once again, which player is going to drive that? Oh, I'm going
to
give up.
Who are you trying to get up ahead? You're trying to get ahead of the Bears for who?
Yeah, I mean, and so the player will drive that market as opposed to, oh, we want to be out. We're up for business. You have to want to get up there to get somebody to give up additional picks to get that player. And so depending on how the board shakes, maybe. But, I think they may get stuck and have to stick and pick.
Yeah. So we'll see what they end up doing. 9, the Bears. I feel like if Jalen Carter did somehow get down there to them.
Perfect.
Ryan Poles coming from Kansas City. Think about Chris Jones and his impact. I could see him easily looking at that and saying, come on in. We'll take our chances here. Take a little bit of a risk and off you go. Philadelphia gets to 10. Last one we'll touch on here. I think you're looking at Paris Johnson, Peter Skowronski, those two guys, because they love offensive linemen early. And then I would look at two other guys I would keep an eye on, Nolan Smith give him a real fastball off the edge, and Lucas Van Ness. I think those guys, I think that decision is probably coming down to those four guys.
Man, that's a good list.
It's not bad, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, what tells you if more than a couple of them are there, you can maybe slide back a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, that's a good list. And the options are there. It kind of depends on what you want to do when it comes to building out your team. How quickly can you get one side of the ball up and running? You know, we've talked mm-hmm. about that. Like, hey, let's make one side great and then do it. And I don't know if you can go wrong in that scenario. If all those guys are there, man, where you go? What do you think? Offense, defense? Been around the quarterback? Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably more defensive line. I just think they'll look at that as kind of a priority. You know, you do have a little bit of age there with Brandon Graham and think about Fletcher Cox. Like, this is just one last hurrah with those guys. So continuing to just add to that mix. It's a nice little group that they've got going forward. When you look at Jordan Davis plugging in, you've got Milt Williams, who's young, explosive interior guy. You've got Sweat, who's really good. Obviously, we know what they have with Hassan Reddick. So they could just, I mean, they like to play, as they like to say, with the Alpha and the Bravo units. You know, like to roll those guys through. So this would give, them another piece.
Yep. So DJ, I did my mock draft last night. So I had them, I think at the time, I had them take a pass rusher. I think Lucas Van Ness was off the board. So maybe it was Miles Murphy there. But then to come back at the end of the first round and take another inside-outside combo guy, like we talked about a Keon White somebody like that. Yeah. Like, to me, if the Eagles do that kind of stuff, you talk about really cornering the market on like just pass rushers, like deep, talented mm-hmm. pass rushers so you can roll through there. The one thing that I love about the Eagles, their philosophy is clear and everyone understands it and knows it. So as much fun as mm-hmm. we had, like, mocking Bijan Robinson, oh, it'd be great. Everyone knows that's not how they get down. And so to me, like, I love it because it's very clear and apparent. Hey, this is what we do. We don't mm-hmm. we don't take running backs high. Like, this is what we mm-hmm. do. We can get that value somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. 100%. All right, your final top fives. I've got my final top 150, actually. Both those, you can find those on NFL.com. Hardest decision, Buck. I'll give you the floor on that one.
Hardest decision for me, we talked a little bit about Paris Johnson Jr. and Skowronski. That was probably one of the hardest ones, and just in terms of which one deserves to be number one. I finally flipped Dalton Kincaid and Michael Meyer. That was a mm-hmm. huge one for me because coming into this, I just thought Meyer was going to be the guy. But then as you just look at what Kincaid can do and all that other stuff, it was a bit of a surprise. You know, I'm sitting here looking, DJ, it wasn't a lot of, like, I didn't have a lot of movement. I kind of stayed true. So that's either good or bad. I think the guy that I am interested in, it, I can't wait to see where Kalijah Kansi go. Like, where is he coming off the board after the combine, after stuff? How are people comfortable with his size, that stuff? Those were kind of like the hardest ones for me. Everything else was pretty much status quo. After you've done it two or three times, man, not a whole lot of movement that you can really do, you know?
No, I had a couple guys move up and down a little bit on the overall list. But the two debates that I was kind of working through in my head, and the guys that were in the top 50, one was Banks, the corner from Maryland, versus Porter. And I ended up sticking with Porter. I had Porter the whole process, but that's one of those ones where I didn't sleep great with that one because I think you can do more with Deontay Banks. I think he's more scheme versatile. And you always talk about that. You know, can you play up? Can you play mm-hmm. off? Can you do all the different things you want to be able to do? I think he gives you more of that. I think with Porter, some of the stiffness, and I don't think he's not a playmaker. He doesn't get his, he'll poke the ball away, but he doesn't finish mm-hmm. And make plays on the ball. So to me, I ended up with Porter, kind of staying with him with the length and the size. But I thought Banks, it won't shock me if Banks goes ahead of him now when the draft gets here.
Yeah, Banks has certainly been interesting because when I initially looked at him, I thought he's fine. But then the more mm-hmm. you start thinking about it, the more you look at the size, the more you look at the athleticism, explosiveness, some of the instincts kind of begin to pop up. I can absolutely believe that there are plenty of scenarios where Banks goes before Joey Porter Jr. The one thing about Joey Porter mm-hmm. Jr., I felt like he was very limited in terms of what he did, very nose to nose, did some stuff off. We've talked about it when it comes to like mocking him to the Washington Commanders, I brought up like Josh Norman and how Josh Norman played. But when I look at Joey Porter Jr., not because they're the same size or the same athlete, the way they play is very similar in terms of how they need to play and those things. But Josh Norman carved out a nice career for himself. So Joey Porter Jr. can do that. He doesn't have the fluidity of some of the other top guys. And so that's why I'm a little probably down on him compared to some of the other guys.
Yeah. Yep. That I'm with you on that. The last one was I ended up, again, staying with Washington over Musgrave. But I thought when you look at Musgrave, he's a more fluid, he's a more dynamic athlete. I don't know if you look at how they, Washington ran a good time, but it's a different, more of a lumbering runner. He's obviously a big time asset in the pass game. I think if Musgrave had played a whole season, if he only played two games this year, if he had played the whole way through, I think Musgrave would have leapt over him. Mm. And I think there's still a chance he gets picked ahead of Washington.
Well, I think so. I think it comes down to styles, preferences. What do you want at the tight end position? If you're looking for a traditional wide tight end that you're really using as your sixth offensive lineman, well, Darnell Washington is your guy. He makes catches and plays. He's not a route runner playmaker for me.
No.
He's an early down tight end. We're going to run behind him. If we have two tight ends on the field, he's the Y. The other guy's the H. The passes are going to the H. A lot of it is beauty's in the eye of the beholder. What are you looking for when you come into the draft to get a tight end? Do you want a traditional one or an X one? That'll kind of determine it. Because right now, I just think Darnell Washington is just an X. He's an oversized tackle who is tackle who's really a Y. He's a regular attached tight end. He's not a flex guy. He's not a movement guy. He's not a pass catching guy. He's in the line of scrimmage guy.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys end up coming off the board. Any other takeaways from your final list there, Buck?
It was difficult for me because, like DJ, sometimes it's hard doing these lists when you try and do multiple iterations. It's hard to try and sort out, okay, am I being stubborn and my ego is in the way, or do I need to relent, look at some more tape, and maybe flip the cards? And so I always debate it, particularly because we released this last one like a week before the draft. So now you're just always trying to guard against what you're hearing versus what you're seeing. I'm hearing they may go, but what I'm seeing is I don't really love the product. That's always the most difficult part of part of it.
Well, it's easy to do when you're inside with a team because you guys all know inside that building what you feel about players, and all the outside stuff, you don't care.
Yep.
It's hard when you're in the media thing and you're balancing, okay, like here's my top 150. Like a great example for me is like Marte Mapu, the linebacker from Sac State. I love him, man. So I'm like, you talk to teams, they're like, he'll go in the fourth or fifth round. I'm like, well, he's my 73rd player or something like that. Like, to me, he's an early third round player. So I know he's probably going to go later, but my job is not to stack them how they're going to go. His job is to stack them how you feel about
them. How you feel about them, how you feel like they're going to play. And that's the thing that's hard sometimes, because when we're doing draft night and we see him, the board get picked apart like a chicken, we're like, I didn't like him as much, but that's okay. At some point, we're going to have to snap the ball, put the ball down, and we'll get a chance to see him play. And then we'll see who's right after that, but you can't beat yourself.
There's
up.
A couple corners. Yeah. There's a couple corners, Buck, that if you're a zone team, purely a zone team, they might have these guys in like the third or fourth round. They didn't make my top 150 because personally, I'm like, just for my taste, like if you can't run,
what can I do with you?
I value that. Yeah. I value that because if I can't line you up nose to nose at some point in time and play like that, then Those are teams that I kind of work with and what I appreciated. So that's how I think. So I'm like, it's hard to do this on the media side of things because we're not scouting for a scheme. We're not scouting for a division, all that kind of stuff. It's generic. But I kind of just said, you know what? At the end of the day, like those guys end up being good players somewhere else. I'm just going with the guys I like. And that's why if you can't run at corner, I'll push them down.
Well, style preference should certainly play in it because we all bring that to the table. The funny thing is, look, I think there's enough awareness to be able to say, hey, man, he's a zone corner. You want a zone scheme or whatever? Hey, my top units will look differently. If you want man-to-man, but I'm not tasked with that. I'm tasked with just ranking them 1 to 5 based on
ability
what they have. Yeah. And so it always changes. And so you just hope that you're able to explain it, whereas the listener or the viewer understands, like, oh, okay, this is what he means. This is why he graded. This is the criteria that he used to issue these grades.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Well, anything else you want to add here, Buck, before we jump out of here?
Nah, man, I'm excited. I don't know if we have another one. Is this it?
Well, I think Nabil can pop in here, but I think, is Lance jumping in here? What do we got? I don't know. Oh, Thursday. We got another one coming Thursday.
Okay, we get a pre-birth Thursday. Nabil. Okay, cool.
A little recap with Rhett. Recapping what? The draft doesn't happen until Thursday night. Is that after the draft? Is that Nabil doesn't want to talk? He just wants to jump in. Oh, okay. I get it. Here,
so. Yeah, it's like a little
post-draft recap. Post-draft.
So this is the last one, you and I. Okay, cool.
Yes, yes. But we will circle back next week and go through all this stuff. So, Buck, have a blast, man, and enjoy. I know you guys do a great job, and I'm looking forward. I'm sure we'll be texting all through the next couple days.
Sure. For sure.
Silly season, brother. Man, it is warm.
I can't wait for that DJ mock draft on Wednesday.
Oh, man. You don't even want to know. Confidence level zero. So I'm just like, I'm going to put Stroud at two and just let the chips fall where they may and not look like a dummy when everybody else was right on that whole thing. But anyways. All right. That's going to do it for us. Appreciate you guys hanging. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.